Foremost, you and I need to remember something. Truth is not a principle. You know, sometimes we'll hear somebody say, and there are truth principles. We do understand that. But Jesus said it very clear in the Gospels when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So whenever you read the Word of God, you're coming face to face with truth. Truth who is Jesus Christ. Now, we've been dealing with truths that transform, and we dealt with Jesus as the door and Jesus as the shepherd. And tonight we're going to look at Jesus as our resurrection and life. And in John chapter 11, if you would, take your Bibles and turn there, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 27. This is, remember, if you remember, it's the encounter with Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus had died. Now, their brother Lazarus was good and dead, and Jesus had waited for a period of time, and he hadn't come. And Jesus finally shows up. And I want you to look carefully, beginning in verse 20 through 27, listen carefully to what Jesus says. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Just listen how emphatic Jesus says it. Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, if you read on down in the gospel encounter, you'll find that Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and they told him, now, you know that Lazarus is already dead, and his body stinks by this time. And you remember what Jesus did at the tomb. You remember that when Jesus spoke, he said three words, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible makes it very clear that he was loosed and he came out. And can you imagine the astonishment? Now, let me say this at the very outset of this message tonight. There are those times in your life and my life that it appears that God doesn't show up. There are times in your life and my life that we're faithful to him, we obey him, we do everything that we know to do, and it seems like, now notice the way I'm putting it, it seems like, it appears like, it looks like that God is not showing up for us. But if you look at the text of this scripture, and just one thing I want to point out as an intro to the message tonight, there are those times that God doesn't show up, or it appears he doesn't show up, because he is wanting to show you a deeper revelation of himself that you never knew about. And in the life of Mary and Martha, they knew Jesus could heal. They had heard wind of it. They knew Jesus could do a number of things because they had heard of it. And there had been experiences in their own life, but they had never experienced what they were getting ready to experience in their own personal life. But before it could happen, there had to be a catastrophic event in which they, in essence, they sort of lost a sense of perspective. They lost sense of belief. But Jesus knew what he was getting ready to do. Now, I say that to say this. There may be some times in your life, and it may be you're right there right now, that there is something going on, and you've prayed, you've asked God, you've really petitioned him, and you really don't see him showing up. Can I tell you this, and you know this as well as I do, that God never has and never can abandon his children. Amen? Listen, in the Old Testament, there's a wonderful passage. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. The Bible says, can a mother forget her children? She may forget her children, but I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. I cannot forget you, saith the Lord. And when you and I come to understand the truth, how it literally transforms our mind, our life, and our thinking. And in this passage of Scripture, I just want you to notice a few things, and you may want to jot them down, because Jesus was revealing to Mary and to Martha something about himself that they never did know and they never did experience until this day, when their brother was resurrected from the dead. Now listen carefully. I have never had a family member resurrected. I guess if some of my family came through the door that was dead, I would pass out. But I know that my family that's dead in the Lord, that knows Jesus Christ, they're going to be resurrected someday. And if I die, I'm going to be resurrected. That's the hope that you and I have as children of God. Amen? Because listen to what Jesus said. He said to Mary and Martha, he said, I am the resurrection. So I want you to jot this down. Christ is the giver of life. You know, whenever you look in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says very clear to Mary and to Martha, said, I'm just making it very emphatic. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Now think about this for a moment. You can't resurrect something unless something's happened to that thing. In other words, you can't resurrect a person unless that person has died. Resurrection always presupposes death. If you're going to resurrect someday, what does that mean you've got to do? Die, unless you're translated. And so resurrection always presupposes death, and death always prepares for new life, and new life always is a part of the nature of God. And so when Mary and Martha approach Jesus, here's one thing that they had never come into contact with. They never had experienced resurrection like Jesus was getting ready to do it. And one of the reasons was Jesus was not wanting to show them only, but he was wanting to show all of a watching world in that century and in every century that would walk the face of the earth that Jesus Christ is our resurrection. So that means that if you're getting ready to leave this world through death, that's not a bad thing. Why? Because you're going to get resurrected. And so Scripture makes it very clear. And the Bible makes it very clear that he gives physical life. You know, you look at this passage, and the Bible says, and as a matter of fact, in another passage as well in the book of Acts, he gives to all life and breath and all things. Paul, when preaching to those at Mars Hill and to those philosophers in that day and time, Paul made it very clear that this God is the giver of life. And by the way, did you know this, that there was never a non-belief in God until Charles Darwin wrote his book, The Origin of Species, because all throughout history and all throughout biblical history, you'll find people believed in God. Now, they may have believed in a pagan God, they may have believed in some other God, but they believed in God. And so, you know, Jesus makes it very clear that he's the giver of physical life. You know, one of the things that Mary and Martha would see and they would experience, they would watch as Jesus would give to their brother Lazarus physical life again. And listen, that's something you and I need to be reminded of. Someday, all of our family that have died in the Lord, they're going to receive physical life again. That's exactly what resurrection is all about. It means to stand up straight. And so someday, all of our family that's died in the Lord, there's going to be that physical change. They're going to be brought back to life. And the ultimate life comes from the Lord God. And so Jesus makes it very clear. He's the giver of physical life, and he's also the giver of spiritual life. Listen to what the Bible says. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more what? Abundantly. Or another translation for abundantly means above the common. Jesus made it very clear, and John made it very clear, that this Jesus who has given you and me life, he's come to give you life above the common. You look at a lot of people, there's a lot of people that have money, but then there's some of us that are real rich. You know, a lot of people have money, but they're not rich at all. A lot of people have money and they have heartache and troubles and pain and trouble. And then there's folks who have a faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, you may not have two nickels to rub together, but you have Jesus, and that's all there is. And that's all you need. Amen? Listen, we are the richest people in the world because Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and you might have life above the common. And our life is not a life of temporalness. You're going to live for all of eternity because God has given to you eternal life. And the key word, you look throughout the Gospel of John and you'll find life and life and life and life over again. Why? Because Mary and Martha, in that day and time and in the culture in which they lived, there was the belief that, well, first of all, there was the belief that the world was flat. You know, there was not a belief that the world was round until way later on. See, we read into Scripture our understanding. Well, they thought the world was flat. That's why so many people told Christopher Columbus, don't you dare, you know, you'll go to the edge and you'll go over. And, you know, and so many people believed the world was flat. Well, there was the belief that when you died, you were extinct. That's why the pharaohs, they would gather everything together. And when you watch some of the specials, they have all of their goods because, you know, of their belief system. And Jesus makes it very clear. He's speaking to Mary and Martha. He's telling them, he said, Lazarus is going to live again. Now think about it a minute. As you and I age, as you look in the mirror more and more and more and more and more and more, aren't you glad there's resurrection life and you're going to be resurrected? I love what Randy Alcorn said in his book about heaven. And I love his thought process, and I believe he's accurate. He said, when we are given a new body, we're going to always continually be at our peak. And you're going to be at the peak of your physical body for all of eternity. Don't that sound wonderful? And it is going to be because we're going to have a brand new body. And it said that your physical peak was probably between the ages of 30 and 33. Now, some of you are going to come to me afterwards and say, now, are you saying that I'm going to be between 30 and 33? Well, I don't know what age you're going to be, but here's the reality. You're going to continually be at your spiritual peak, your physical peak, for all of eternity. And Mary and Martha knew that something caused Lazarus to die, but that someone could cause Lazarus to live. And as Jesus went to the tomb, they were getting ready to see and experience something that would absolutely vibrate them to the core of their being, because no one had ever walked to a tomb and said, come forth. I can't do it, and you can't do it, and you don't know of anybody that has. Sung Young Moon, who just died at the age of 92, he couldn't do it. Hare Krishna couldn't do it. Muhammad couldn't do it, but Jesus the Christ walked to the grave, and you and I need to anchor our soul in this Christ continue and be reminded that he is the perpetual giver of life. And not only that, but the Bible says that he is the restorer of life. Listen to what he says. I am the resurrection. The word resurrection literally comes from two Greek words. But those two Greek words literally carry the meaning to cause to stand up. Now, get the picture. To cause to stand up. Many of your family members have passed away. Many of my family members have passed away. But, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha, and he was buried according to the custom of his time. His body was wrapped, but still yet his body was stinking. And when Jesus pronounced the word, now, it just sounds like words, but I'll tell you something. It's going to be a day that only God can describe in his divine vocabulary, because we're not going to be able to understand it. We're going to participate in it. But to cause to stand up, can you imagine this a minute? Think about it a minute. Your grandparent, your great-grandpa, or somebody you know that died when you was just a little boy, little girl, and you just barely have some memories of them. I think about my grandfather when I was just a little kid. He's been gone since six, and God is going to cause him to stand up. The Bible says Jesus is the restorer of life, meaning that every one of those of our friends and our family, our neighbors who know Jesus Christ. And you know, it's the divine truth that God is going we're going to be eternally ageless. You know, there's not going to be any aging, and to live and to die and never more, and to live and never age. You know, the Bible says he is the restorer of life. But here's the reality about the restoring of life. You're going to be restored spiritually. Listen to what Scripture says. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, you look at a lot of people as you will go throughout this week, and you won't think they're dead. They've got breath in their nostrils, they're breathing, they can talk to you, but they're dead. I guess probably the best way to relay it, there was a preacher that was driving down the road. He was the passenger in a hearse, and in the passenger seat. He wasn't in the back, by the way, but he was the passenger. And he said to the driver, he said, sir, are you dead like this man back here? And man looked at him. He said, you know, the Bible says, let the dead bury their dead. Man looked at him and said, are you sure that's in the Bible? He said, must be a misprint. He said, well, let me explain to you the way it is. He said, this man back here is dead. He can't have any fellowship with his family anymore. And he said, according to Scripture, if a person's without a Christ, they're dead. They don't have any relationship to God until they're quickened and brought to life. Do you remember that day you was quickened and brought to life? You remember that day that life became different for you? You had a relationship with God on that day. You confessed your sin. You invited Jesus Christ to come into your life. You prayed the sinner's prayer, and you mean it with all of your heart because God wooed you and drew you to himself. And you realized on that day, I'm not going to die, and I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ is in my life. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's talking about being quickened. You were quickened. You were brought to life that were dead in trespasses and in sin. And the Bible makes it very clear that Christ restores our spiritual life. You know, outside of Christ, there's nobody that's alive. There's a lot of people that are breathing. But in the end, we're going to find out that they're spiritually dead because the Bible says that they're not even going to be resurrected until after the 1,000-year reign. They're dead in trespasses. They're dead in sin. You know, David the psalmist said this. He said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And here's the wonder of the gospel message. In Jesus Christ, he infused to me his resurrection life. In the cross, I was given his resurrection life. That's why I can't die. Now, I can go to sleep, or this body can die, but I can't die. I have to live for all of eternity with God. Why? Because I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, those who believe in me shall never perish. Listen. The Bible says that Christ restores our spiritual life, but also says he restores our physical life. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the resurrection. We've talked about that. But no one in the universe has ever voluntarily dismissed their spirit and been raised again from the dead. You know, Scripture makes it very clear. In John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, it is finished, and the Bible says he gave up the ghost. And you can go to Jerusalem and outside of Jerusalem, and you can find the body of Jesus still there, can't you? No. Why? Because we have a resurrected Messiah. We have a resurrected Lord. And Jesus said, listen to the words, because I live, you shall live, what's the next word? Also. Because his resurrected life is in your veins and my veins. There's a song, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows through my veins. Lazarus didn't realize what it meant completely to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm sure he knew as much as he could. But can you imagine Lazarus? Here he does. He comes walking out of that grave and he looks Jesus right in the face. Can't you imagine going back into town and the first person seeing Lazarus outside of Mary and Martha? You look like, are you related to Lazarus? I am he, and they pass out. Can't you just imagine? And I've said this different times. Your grandmother come knocking on your door. Well, the Bible says that there is going to be a day of resurrection. It's very clear. Because the Bible says that he is the restorer of life. He is the restorer of spiritual life. He's the restorer of physical life. But there's something we miss out on. The Bible says that he's going to restore this world, this cosmic life, this world that you and I live in. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, you and I miss out on one particular element. He wasn't just talking about you spiritually, you physically, but the Bible says that he was also talking about his world. You know, you and I look around, and about this time of the year, we start seeing decay. We start seeing signs of death. Pretty colors, but here's the reality. The pretty colors mean that the life is going out of those trees and the life is dissipating. It's going back. And in just 2 or 3 months, we'll look and there won't be leaves on the tree. We'll see signs, what looks of death. The coldness of the winter. Coldness of that time of the year. But the Bible says that one day, Romans chapter 8, verse 22. The whole creation groans and travails. You know what the earth is saying? I want my Redeemer. You know, we say it all the time, but all throughout Scripture, God doesn't just love mankind. He loves his creation. He loves his world. After all, this is our Father's world. You know, I can't imagine living in a time, in an environment, where there's no sign of death, no signal of death. But that's exactly what Scripture talks about. You know, that's the promise of God. And then thirdly, the Bible says he's the preserver of life. Listen to what it says. I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to what he says. He didn't say I was. Or I have been, or I am for a season of time, I am the resurrection and life. This is an added benefit. Here's the reality. Life's been restored. Our Lord Jesus had made it possible, you know, for Adam and Eve never, if they had never sinned, they would never have died. The Scripture makes it very clear. He became our very life. I want you to notice something. The Bible says that he preserves us by his word. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, he makes it very clear in his word that he's going to preserve us. He's going to preserve us for all of eternity. Now, can you imagine living 10,000 years from now? No, you can't. And you not having any age about you. We hardly make it 60 years. We can't imagine it. But he's going to preserve you for all of eternity. That is his word. I am the resurrection. I'm going to change you, and I'm going to stand you up, and I'm going to continually give you perpetual life forever and ever. That is simply his word. You know, I love what Hebrews says. He says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Someone said if God could pack his bags and leave the universe, everything would collapse in a second's time. And that's really the truth. If God could pack his bags and leave the universe, because he upholds all things, not by his strength. He doesn't uphold all things by his energy only. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Think about a moment. When men and women are raised from the dead, when Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and he stood there, you remember Jesus got the biggest tool in his time, and he went in and got Lazarus out personally, and he put Lazarus over his shoulders, didn't he? No. Lazarus, come forth. Imagine this for a moment. Children of God, come forth by the word of his power. You're going to be resurrected by the word of his power, because by him all things hold together. By the word of his power, all things collectively, universally hold together. And by the word of his power, you're going to be, if you've died, you're going to be resurrected. Your spirit's going to be reunited with your body, and you're going to have a brand new body. You know, the Bible says he's preserved us by his life. He's the restorer of life. He's the preserver of life. He's the giver of life. And lastly, he says, because I live, you'll live also. I wonder, and have wondered many times, exactly what Jesus looks like. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I've said this, and I want you to listen to me very carefully in closing. You will never see God, but you will see God. You say, now wait just a minute, Pastor. I don't like riddles. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. The Bible says God is spirit. God the Father is spirit. And those who worship him in spirit. But you're going to see Jesus. You're going to literally get to see Jesus. The Bible says 2,000 years ago, as he was ascending from the Mount of Olives, the angel stood by and they said, why do you stand into heaven gazing? This, say the word with me, same Jesus that you have seen go away shall so come in like manner. Folks, he has a body. He has a physical appearance. He has a color of eyes. And you're going to get to see him. It says the pure in spirit shall see God. And Jesus is God. You see, here's the reality. He says, because I live, you live also. That same Jesus who went away 2,000 years ago, he's coming back. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So in the sight of God, he's only been gone a little over 2 days. You're going to see him. But here's the reality. The only way we get to see him and live with him for all of eternity, you know this as well as I do, is having a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. You see, you know, there are so many who say, well, I just don't believe it. There are a lot of people who are going to miss heaven. But there's a lot of people who are saved by the grace of God, like many of you. They're going to find that one day in time, what it's going to be to experience resurrection. I've thought different times on my way home. I thought, wouldn't it be neat to experience the rapture? Wouldn't it be neat just to be caught up? That's exactly what God says. Either rapture or resurrection, that's what's waiting for you and me. But here's the truth. Because Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. He who believes in me shall never what? Perish, shall never die. Sadly, there are many people today who perished just this one day. I think the statistics are about 200 to 300 every minute. But here's the reality. You, if you know Jesus Christ, there is no perishing. And that's the gospel. The gospel is God gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us something we can't get. He gives us an eternity we could never comprehend when we simply place our faith in Jesus Christ. There was a young man in a prison one time, and he was to be released, but he told a preacher in that day and time, he said, I still can't handle the getting out life. I can't do it on my own. And he was supposed to sign some papers, some document that he would do certain things once he got out. He said, I need something stronger than my signature. And here's what happened. It sounds odd, but his mother said, if you need something stronger than your signature, why don't you write it in my blood? And she honestly cut her vein in part, didn't, but she said, write it in my blood. Maybe that will help you walk a better life. But here's the reality. That mother had good intentions, so he could be reminded that his mother gave her blood for his future. But I'm telling you, your blood can't secure your eternity. My blood can't secure my eternity. But the precious blood of Jesus Christ has secured your eternity and my eternity. Aren't you glad to know you're redeemed and where you're going? Amen. Father, thank you that you remind us in your word that you're the preserver of life, you're the giver of life, you're the God of life. Every breath we breathe is a gift from God. Every movement of blood through our body is done by your divine hand. All that we are and all that we have, Lord, we owe to you. And Father, to imagine and to think that someday we're going to be in an ageless body, a body that doesn't decay, because you promise us life. Lord, resurrection is a reminder that those who die in Christ are going to get up because you're going to announce to them to get up. And it will happen by your word. Father, how wonderful. How wonderful a thought it is to know. But Father, how many people don't have that in their heart? How many people don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? And Father, make us aware. Bring us to an awareness of family and friends that are without Christ. Father, keep us sensitive. Father, have your will and your way in this invitation. In Jesus we pray. Amen.